To be a mother is to be a mother to all children. It is to weep with others as loss is felt. It is to rise up against those decision makers who take away rights from persons of color, transgendered peoples, and the poor. To mother is to protect everyone from suffering. On this day, I reflect on the mothering that helped me to seek justice, embrace mercy and compassion, and claim the role of feminist. And when I say feminist, I mean one who believes in equality for all, acknowledging that we still have a long way to go until there are more female CEOs in the boardroom. We receive equal pay regardless of gender or race, and our bodies are truly our own, regardless of our identity. But how did I become this minister who proudly proclaims that I am a feminist? I grew up in a mixed culture household, and I attribute this upbringing as my first lesson in how to be a feminist. My mother and father both allowed me to speak my mind, arguing with them if I so chose. Thank you, Mom. They taught me to rise up against injustice and that I was just as important as any other person. Thus, I learned to speak out from the age of 4 when witnessing bullying on the playground or when being the recipient of such bullying. My mom currently continues to teach me to be strong and stand up against that bullying. But I have a memory of my father one day in Santa Monica. A big brother of another student decided to start bullying me. He and others followed me home. We lived in back of the school, so I was so scared that I jumped over the fence to get onto our property, and I found my father working there. I told him what was happening, and he looked over the fence and the crowd and told this boy that he was welcome to come over the fence and fight me. I looked at my father, or looked up at my father, looked down at this boy that was over the fence. And this boy was much bigger and older than I, and I was scared. But my father knew that by lifting me up, that would be the right thing to do. I didn't have to fight the boy in the end, of course. Probably scared of my father more than myself, but he didn't bother me again. Sometimes the best mothering can also come from a father. That day I understood that I was to stand tall no matter my gender and not be afraid. I took this lesson with me throughout my life and learned to face my enemies straight on. See, to be a feminist is not to be silenced. It is to take your place in society and demand that you be heard. My ancestor on my mom's side was Anne Hutchinson. She was a woman who spoke up in church when women were supposed to be silent in the Massachusetts Bay Colony. She continued to preach and was eventually banned as a result. Hutchinson reminds me to speak my truth no matter the threat. My grandmother Aisha, on my father's side, was a Sufi healer in Baghdad. She was said to have taqwa, the way or path to God, the divine. She was known to go into a trance during Sufi Islamic drumming ceremonies, and it was this fact that gave her great power in the community. I became a drummer, recognizing that I was taking my power at the age of 12, and at a time when there were very little female drummers in America. And young girls were not encouraged to be so powerful back then. Grandma Aisha reminds me to take my power, a gift from God, no matter what. And Grandma Aisha's daughter, Zahra, was best friends with the wife of the president of Iraq. This was the president before Saddam. This president came to visit her at her home, and she was witnessed pacing back and forth and speaking harshly to him. She was demanding that he bring her husband home. My uncle was working in Kuwait as an engineer, and she was told that it was unsafe for him to return to Iraq. That did not work for my Aunt Zahra. She demanded, "You bring my husband home." Imagine this president surrounded by bodyguards with machine guns, and my aunt didn't care. She would not be silenced when it came to the safety of her husband. Zahra taught me to demand you be heard, no matter the status of the person, even the president. Many years ago, I was working as a teacher in New Mexico when I was promoted rather quickly to head of the department in special education. Some of the teachers who had worked there many years were not pleased that I appeared to waltz onto the stage and join them in their weekly meetings with the principal. So at that first meeting, I remember being told to be quiet by one of the teachers. I bit my tongue, but I felt my anger rising as I sat there. And I have a little bit of a temper, so that was really hard to bite my tongue. Having just been silenced in front of my colleagues and my boss, knowing that all the women before me would not allow this, I rose up. As soon as the meeting adjourned, I said loudly, "Mr. Smith, can I speak with you?" Remember, I have a temper. I remember seeing all of the teachers scatter as quickly as possible. They knew something was about to erupt. Even the principal started to leave, and then she remembered we were in her office. So she tried to, like, mediate and tried to act as though, you know, "Oh, it's okay that he did that." And he acted as though he was justified, because after all, who was I? Then I heard these words come out of my mouth. "Mr. Smith, out of respect for you and our colleagues, I said nothing. But if you ever do that again, I will speak out." Well, apparently those words made an impact on Mr. Smith. And he actually started crying and telling me that I reminded him of his daughters, who apparently tell him off rather regularly, I would think. Anyway, I never had a problem with him again. And no one else tried to silence me in that school. And I'll tell you a little secret. I found out later that year that Mr. Smith apparently had killed a man and gotten away with it. And I was very surprised that I stood up to such a major bully. But I did. Because I am the descendant of all of these matriarchs, feminists in their own time, teaching me to rise up and speak out when I am told, be quiet.
Too many women for too long have been told to be silent. And one of the ways that we make space for women to rise up and speak up, whether it's in daily life, whether it's to address sexual harassment, whether it's to take the stage in the political arena, is for men to sometimes be quiet. And boy, do we have trouble with that. One of the things you can do, guys, is schedule yourself last in an already supersized service, and then you'll find yourself deciding what you're going to say and what you're not going to say here. And I, like Reverend Summer, proclaim myself a feminist, an ally to women. And I also recognize that it's important that supportive male voices are heard at times like these, times when we hear other loud male voices in our society denigrating the choices and agency of women. We're in a time when men need to learn when to step up and when to step back, when to speak up and when to stay silent. And while we've all mothered in some ways in our lives from time to time, I think there's a danger in universalizing motherhood too much, for it can diminish the contributions of specifically women as mothers of all kinds, leaders, nurturers, bold visionaries. And yet, as Mother's Day approached, I found myself thinking about the idea of gender in our society today, how old notions of women and men have been shifting. Is a holiday associated with the binary notion of gender even still relevant in today's world? A few months ago, many people in this congregation gathered to watch a documentary on those who identify as transgender. We're seeing television shows like Roseanne with a boy who dresses in clothes traditionally thought of as being for girls. Options for life and career choices across traditional gender lines seem more available than ever. There is an acknowledgement of fluidity in gender these days that seems new. And yet here we are talking about Julia Ward Howe, our Unitarian forebearer to whom we can attribute the founding of Mother's Day. And few know that back in 1846, she began a novel that wasn't discovered until 1977 and then wasn't actually published until 2004. And in this book, the main character displays both male and female characteristics early on, is raised as a boy, but when the character reaches adulthood, sometimes lives as a woman and sometimes lives as a man. Howe describes this character as having the, quote, spiritual nature that is attractive, most attractive in either sex. So thus what seems like a new conversation, right, to many of us today may actually be us just catching up with thinkers like Julia Ward Howe or Virginia Woolf, who did something very similar in her book Orlando. So what does this mean for the future of feminism? Perhaps it means there will come a time when gender is experienced in so many ways that the distinctions that lead to sexism simply won't exist. Yet we are certainly not living in that post-gender world. And that means that feminism remains of vital importance. People of conscience are called to examine, perhaps more thoroughly than ever, gender-related power dynamics. And thus, we acknowledge Mother's Day. Even knowing it evokes the spectrum of emotions for people, including some negative ones. But because of that complexity, we also look toward the roots of Mother's Day and Julia Ward Howe, because this day was originally about the voices of women, motherhood in its greatest sense, the voices of women advocating for peace, for justice, for a transformed world. We've all been touched by motherhood in one way or another. We've all learned from mothers and modeled our actions, at least at some point in time on those who mother, who protect others from suffering, as Reverend Summer spoke about. One of the mothers in my life was a woman named Ruth Ellis. She was my third grade teacher and a quirky one who directed us in class plays. I played a very fussy bear awakened too early from his winter hibernation. I remember that. She cut our silhouettes out of black paper. She invited us to dance and be our best selves. My favorite part of class was when Mrs. Ellis would sit in her rocking chair, lovingly hand-painted with floral details and her name in flowing letters on the back, and she'd read to us. I quickly discovered that she and I had similar tastes in books, and even after I graduated from the third grade, I'd sneak back to her classroom in that wing of the school in subsequent years to show her old books I'd procured from dusty bookshops and yard sales. I guess we were an unlikely pair, sitting together at lunch, talking about books. Me, a skinny white kid, not old enough for junior high, and Mrs. Ellis, a black woman who had kept teaching long past typical retirement age. I remember showing her an old book I'd found in a bookshop with an inscription inside dated 1916. She said it was hard to imagine I was holding a book that had belonged to someone alive back then. Mrs. Ellis laughed. "Well, you have two surprises then," she said, "because that's the year I was born." Without thinking, I said I could hardly believe she was that old. Before the age of tact, right? Her face grew serious. "I've seen everything along the way," she said. "Feathers fall away, but birds keep flying." Mrs. Ellis was full of a lot of those kind of sayings, but for some reason that one stuck with me. "Feathers fall away, but birds keep flying." I didn't know what it meant at the time, but as the years have gone by, it made more sense to me. Here was this woman who had seen so much, and certainly as an African American in that time in the Midwest, she had experienced her share of struggles and pain. Surely she had experienced much loss along the way, but losing those feathers hadn't stopped her from flying or from helping others to fly. The notion of feminism is one that we all can identify with as members of the human race, celebrating one another for who we are uniquely, helping each other to fly, even when we lose feathers. Feminism is about sharing power across gender identities. This is the key to our future. Not just equality of the sexes, it's in the transformation of power structures. And as more and more women who identify as women, as mothers, gain real power, what will this world look like? Built on a patriarchal model, there is more likelihood than ever that some of this model will come toppling down, certainly in this century. The great Unitarian Universalist theologian Sharon Welch writes in her book, The Feminist Ethic of Risk, that real change, kind of change we heard about in Howe's Mother's Day proclamation, that change happens when we come together in community and when we concern ourselves less with outcomes and more with possibilities. When we risk, as women have been doing for so long, to make change in a hostile world, knowing that the risk itself, with all the vulnerabilities and uncertainties that come with it, is worth it. The future of feminism is a story yet to be told, but we have the opportunity to be part of it, I think. Unitarians like Julia Ward Howe, Margaret Fuller, Susan B. Anthony, and so on offer us inspiration for seeking possibility amidst oppression. And that's what this congregation does in coming together in beloved community. It seeks possibility. It engages the best qualities of motherhood in nurturing and caring for one another, in working to end suffering, and envisioning a future of hope and possibility. For every woman who has brought us here to this point today, we thank you. for every woman who is working for peace and justice. We thank you. For every woman who still suffers under the tyranny of patriarchy, we vow to continue working for change as allies and feminists. And for every woman and every man and every person who identifies however they choose to, we invite you into a world of possibility, a world made possible by the active dreams of mothers, not just mothers who gave birth to children, but mothers who gave birth to choices that reflected bold courage, women who throughout history's timeline marched for transformation, women who opened up choices and options that were unknown. May we join that line of women in our work in this troubled world. May we be willing to risk, to change, to create, to nurture, and most of all, to love. Feathers may fall away, they will, but we'll keep flying.